message already, as was mentioned, expectations or appreciation. I'm not going to be having you open your Bibles a lot this evening. First, I want to talk about expectation, and then I want to talk about appreciation, and then towards the end, I like to look at an account where a man had an expectation but needed to lay it down. But if I was to maybe give a foundational verse for this evening, it would be 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How do you think you'll match up to that verse? How grateful have you been in the last verse, in the last week, or the past few weeks, or the last year? In everything, give thanks. This evening, the goal of the message is to help us to appreciate the blessings that God has given to us. For a prelude of the message, as we think of expectation and an appreciation from the beginning of time, man has been sinful, man has been selfish. God created the earth in a perfect way. It was a perfect environment, and we heard about that this evening again. It was not, or in the devotional. God didn't create evil. He created everything good. And in that garden, he made a garden. He created a Garden of Eden, and he put a man and a wife in there to dress and keep it. But they had one exception, one rule. There was a tree that had forbidden fruit that they were not allowed to eat from. And I asked the question, what was it that got Adam and Eve into trouble? What was it? Could it be set expectations versus appreciation, or rather than appreciation? And I'm going to give you two differing thought processes. I'm going to give you a thought process of expectation, and I'm going to give you a thought process of appreciation. I want you to imagine how it would have been in the Garden of Eden had Eve or Adam and Eve had these two different thought processes. They chose the one, but what would have been like if they would have chose the other one? Think about this, expectation. So we have the devil coming to Eve, tempting her. And Eve chooses to partake of this fruit. Why? Because it looked good, and because it was pleasant to the eyes. I asked a question, what was her expectation? Her expectation was that the fruit would taste good. But even more than that, because she thought, according to what the serpent said, that it would make her wise. Now remember, prior to this, as I already mentioned, God had made a perfect environment. There was absolutely nothing that could have embettered their life. Nothing. But her expectation caused her to believe an untruth. And Eve believed that she was missing something, and that God had withheld something from her that could make her better and happier. Her expectations caused Adam and Eve, or their expectations caused them to be miserable, because when they took of that fruit, they felt guilty. And although Satan's lie was in part true, it didn't accomplish what Eve's expectations were. But imagine with me if their thought process would have been for appreciation. Imagine with me if when the serpent came to Eve, that Eve would have said, "Wait a minute, God made me beautiful. God gave us a beautiful garden. God gave me a wonderful man. God entrusted us with this creation. We have everything we need. We have all the food we can eat. We talk to God every day. There's nothing that will make us better. We live in an imperfect environment, and to top it off, we will never die." And the list could go on. But this thought process of appreciation would have guaranteed victory over sin, and the result would have been a happy life. Well, today we live in America. We have a lot of blessings from God. We enjoy all kinds of opportunities in America. But I want to ask the question, what is our expectation? What are your expectations? And are your expectations leading you toward appreciation? I'd like you to consider that question as we go throughout the message. First of all, I'd like to define expectation. An expectation is not a reality, but something we anticipate will happen to us. And expectations can turn into a mindset of entitlement or "I deserve" mentality. Sometimes we hear the slogan, "Once my ship comes in." And I believe this could illustrate expectations, wishful expectations, and be identified as covetousness. And so I asked the question, are all expectations covetous or wrong? And my answer is, I don't think so, but I want you to consider some of the questions that I want to ask this evening. Think about it. I have a few questions I like to ask, and I'm going to have about 3 points under most of them. The first one I like to consider is, when do expectations become wrong? Number one, when I crave things outside of God's will or plan. And sometimes it's a current process in today's generation, unfortunately, but today many people want a different marriage partner. This is just an example. And their thought process is this: if only I had someone else, then my life would be better. But this is outside of God's will. If you have a marriage partner, then you shouldn't be expecting another one. Or we could talk about substance abuse. And people turn to substance abuse to try to cope with life. I need it to cope with life. Remember, we're looking at things, expectations that are wrong, when we crave things outside of the Lord's will. Or we could say $1 million dream. And it comes with, when I get big concept, then my ship will come in. When I get big, then I'm going to have this great enterprise. Well, maybe God doesn't want you to have that. Expectations become wrong when I crave things outside of God's plan or will. Secondly, expectations become wrong when I pursue expectations at any cost. Now, today we live in a world where we seem to be able to buy about anything we want. And we can get the mentality like this: I know I can't afford it, but I will get it. I wanted it all my life. And I'm going to go through with my expectation. Or We can say, I know it will hurt my relationships, but I want to do it to meet my expectation. Or we could say, I know God hates it, but I can't give up my expectation. When does expectation become wrong? When I pursue expectations at any cost. Number three, when does expectation become wrong? When I don't accept the facts if expectation has evaded us. And there's many things that we may desire. Maybe someone wants children, and God isn't giving us children, or God isn't giving you children. And so you get this mentality, God doesn't know what he's doing because he's not giving me what I want. He's not giving me my expectations. Maybe you want a farm, but you know the way that things look, you'll never be able to have one. And so because of that, I have the right to be moody. Or maybe you have the mentality that God knows what I wanted. I'm tired of waiting, and if you give it to me, then I will keep serving you. And so we have expectations here that are wrong. Expectations, when we crave things outside of God's will or plan, are wrong. The Bible says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Expectations that pursues things at any cost are wrong. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his soul? Or expectations that have evaded us need to be accepted. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus. And so we see here that expectations become wrong when they're ruled by oneself. And notice, it will never bring happiness. Will never bring happiness. Another question I'd like to consider is, what are some selfish expectations? Again, I have three. Number one, God must bless me. God must bless me with children. God must bless me with riches. God must bless me with health, with friends, and with abilities. And I won't take no for an answer. I will keep demanding God for them until my last breath. But notice the verse that was shared tonight, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. Another selfish expectation, number two, people must serve me. We expect people to serve us. They must treat us respectfully. We think they need to treat us kindly. They need to love us. They need to listen to us. They need to help us. And our mentality could be, I will demand people to serve me, and I will make sure that other people don't jip me. But Luke 22, verse 26 says, he that is greatest among you, let him be as a younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. Total different concept. Thirdly, another selfish expectation is, I must be comfortable. I need the right clothes. I need the right degrees. I need the right house. Anything or anyone that will infringe on my comfort must take secondary place. I will complain and spend excess to ensure my comfort. But notice Jesus, who in Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. It was not much about comfort there, was it? Some selfish expectations. Well, another question I'd like to consider, what are expectations we feel we may deserve? And these are maybe a little more practical. Number one, expectation we may feel we deserve is a vacation. Because of all my hard efforts, I have lived with my spouse for 10 years. I have put up with the children. I have run myself ragged. Now you, as my husband, deserve to give me a vacation, or vice versa. I deserve a vacation for all my accomplishments. Let's celebrate. Number two, another expectation that we may feel that we deserve is a birthday gift, a wedding gift, or a Christmas gift, or etc. And I'm concerned about this because we live in an age where we can pick the items we want, we pick the store we want, we pick the list of things, and we expect you to go get it for us. And if it doesn't match or we don't like it, we simply just take it back because we expect we deserve more than what we got. Something for us to think about. Number three, another expectation we may feel we deserve is luxury. Air conditioning, luxurious automobiles, elaborate houses, living in America. I've earned the money, so I get to use it on myself, so I can live up to my expectations. And you know, there's many things in life aren't wrong, but when we have that mentality that we deserve something that's not even ours, maybe, something that's not even a reality, or something that God hasn't given us, it becomes very selfish. And so I say this evening that selfish expectation demand blessings, but again, it never brings true satisfaction. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, I asked the question this evening, what do we deserve? And I have it very simple, very basic. Because of our sin, we deserve everlasting damnation. John 3, verse 15 says, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And all of us this evening would perish if it would not be for the provision that Christ gave to us. Did we deserve it? Absolutely not. But it's a gift for us. It's a gift. Another question I like to think about is, what are root causes to selfish expectations? And I don't know if this is a root cause. I had this listed as, what are the dangers to expectation, or the key dangers to expectation? And I didn't like that, and I replaced it, and I'm not sure if I like it yet. But I want to give three things that tie in very close with this deserve me attitude, or what we expect in life. Number one is comparison. We look around and we say, God, they have more than we do, so that means that I really should be able to up my standard living. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says it like this, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's interesting to me that when we want to justify something, we look at people who have more than we do and we say, well, must be all right. But try, well, I don't know. Bible says it's not wise, so maybe you shouldn't even look to those who don't have as much. But there's many people that have less than us. But we don't like to compare ourselves to them as quickly, unless it's to our advantage. Well, number two, what are some root causes to selfish expectation? Number two is covetousness. God, you haven't given me enough, and I want what that person has. But Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you have enough in life? Then be content. This is where expectations can lead us to. Number three, another root cause of selfish expectation is pride. God, the life I have is just not fair. And so I refuse to accept what you have given me is what is best for my life. Well, I like to simply say that expectations can be rooted in a lack of an unthankful attitude. And that's why we need to be very, very careful with expectations, because it can very quickly lead us to I deserve mentality. Well, I'd like to quickly look, what are some good expectations? Again, I have three. I mentioned that not all expectations are wrong, and I'd like to give you three good expectations we can have. Number one, God to keep his promises and be true to his word. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says God is faithful. Is it out of place for us to expect that God can be faithful? Is it out of place to expect that God will be true to his word? No. Matter of fact, I think it would be injustice to think that God couldn't hold up to what he said he really would. And so that's a good expectation, to expect that God will keep his promises and be true to his word. Number two, another good expectation is to be a good marriage partner or have obedient children, or the list could go on. There's things that we expect. I expect my children to learn to behave. And I also want to be a good marriage partner. That's a good expectation to have. It's good to please your spouse. And the Bible also supports this. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. A good expectation to be right and to be good and to be holy. Another good expectation, number three, is to go to heaven and enjoy everlasting life. 1 John 5 verse 11 says, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and life is in his Son. And so I ask the question, is it okay to expect to go to heaven? And I like to say it could be. And I think there's two sides of this. This evening, if you're living contrary to the word of God and you expect to go to heaven, you're living up to a wrong expectation. But if you're obedient to the word of God and you have found peace and joy and surrender through the Lord Jesus in confession of your sins, it is a good expectation. We know that we have eternal life. And so I like to say this evening that good expectations are built around God and his desires. Now, for the latter part of my message, I like to look at appreciation. I like to define appreciation. Notice the contrary from expectations rooted in I deserve mentality to appreciation. A expression of gratitude. A heart overflowing with thankfulness for all the blessings that God bestows to us. The attitude stems from a heart that understands that God has given us so much more than we deserve. Expectations, once more, it sets us up to get. But appreciation says, God, you have given me so much. I don't deserve it. And we look around and we see all the blessings that we have that God has given to us. Now, you may open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 17. I would like to look at an example here. We have the story in 1 Chronicles, actually, did I say 17? I believe it's, yeah, it is 1 Chronicles 17. Here in this passage of 1 Chronicles 17, we have a story regarding David. And David had an expectation. He wanted to build the temple. And I want you to notice with me how David adjusts his attitudes. He adjusts his plans and expectations to the will of God. And I'd like to read some of this passage. I suppose I'll read the entire passage here. This will give us the whole story. 1 Chronicles 17 and verse 1. And now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in the house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell David, my servant, Thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in any house since the day I brought you up, since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have ye not built me an house of cedars? Now therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel. I will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the beginning. And since the time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, verse 10. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou shalt go be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house. And I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take away my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house, and in my kingdom forever. And his throne shall be established forevermore. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of man of high degree, O Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant. O Lord, for thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like unto the people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness, by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt? For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever, and thou, Lord, becamest their God. Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. Let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is a God of Israel, even a God to Israel. And let the house of David thy servant be established before thee. For thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised his goodness unto thy servant. Now therefore, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. I'd like to ask a few questions as we thought of this passage. Why do you think that David bothered to tell Nathan his desires to build the temple? Personally, I think it was because David wanted support and authority to go ahead with his expectation. And so we see here that Nathan the prophet gives him a stamp of approval. Quite a stamp of approval. You want to do something? He says, well, you're such a good man. Do whatever you want. Well, sounds good, doesn't it? I like stamp of approvals like that. But we see here that in the night, God tells Nathan the prophet to go back to David and say, uh-uh. You go tell David he's not building the temple. I'm glad I don't have his job. After he tells the prophet, after he tells David, he says, do what's in their heart. Now he has to come back and take it back. Remember, he's the prophet. He's the authority. Or he is an authority. And so we see that Nathan goes back. He does what God says. He goes back to David and he tells David, God said no. Now I want us to think through this. David has this big expectation. He wants to build a house of cedar. His own house was so nice. He was sitting in it one day and he looks around, I guess, and he says, I have this beautiful house and yet God doesn't have such a nice house. And he starts running it through his mind. And he goes to Nathan because he wants to, well, he mentions it to Nathan. And he wants support from him. And of course, Nathan gives it. Tells him he's such a good man, he can just go ahead with it. And the next morning, again, Nathan comes to him and he tells him, no, you can't do this. Now keep thinking through this. And so Nathan comes to David and he says, I gave you the wrong advice. You can't build it. Now, I want you to put yourself in those shoes. You know, you have this expectation. You have this dream. You got this brainy idea. And you throw it out to someone. You throw it out even to your authority. Maybe your preacher or maybe your boss or someone that's in authority. And you say you got this good idea, and he says, yeah, just go ahead and do it. This is a big thing. This isn't just a little thing. It's going to be a life-changing event. And he says, go ahead, do it. And the next morning, he comes back. He says, no, you know what? I don't want you to do that. I want you to think about that. How would you feel about that? How would you feel about an expectation that you had that was turned down? Now remember, this is a good expectation. This could be a kind of like a spiritual expectation to build God's house. What could be better than that? I'm not talking about a little expectation that really is neither here nor there. But imagine some of the questions that David faced. Did I have a right expectation? Was it a wrong expectation? Did I have a right expectation? Why did God shut that door for me? Was the desires of my heart wrong? Do you feel like that ever? Have you ever felt like that? God, what are you trying to tell me? Is my thought process wrong? Did I set my expectations too high? The other thing that David could have struggled with is, why did Nathan give me a wrong answer? Why did he put my hopes up? I went home and all night I was so excited, and my dreams, my expectations just got dashed. Did the prophet misunderstand God somehow? Another question he could have faced is, why didn't God want me to build the temple? And I know God gave the reasons in here, but sometimes we have some pretty straightforward things told to us, but it's still hard for us to understand. Maybe you can't relate to that. And so we, like David, are left to sort through our feelings and emotions of unmet expectations. Can you identify with that? Did you ever have a big expectation in your life and got dashed? Well, I like to pull four things from this passage that help us to cultivate a heart of appreciation. Cultivating a heart of appreciation. What brought David back to accepting God's will in life? David could have said, well, guess what? I'm going to build the temple. I had that expectation. I'm going through with it. I don't care. It's a good expectation. There's no reason that God shouldn't allow this. There's no reason that the prophet Nathan needed to come back and tell me no. You go through all that thought process. What about your expectations? Cultivating a heart of appreciation. But David, we see, accepted this. But why? Number one, we find it in verse 20. I believe here's one of the answers in 17:20. Recognition of the greatness of God. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. God, there's no one like you. And if you give an answer, it has to be right. You're powerful. You're strong. You know the answers. You know the future. You know myself better than I do. You created me. You have a purpose. You have a plan. You have a reason for my life. See? You know, when we turn to God and we say, God, there's none like you, and we worship him, it has a way of helping us to accept expectations that are dashed. It has a way of helping us to be appreciative. When we see how great God is and we worship him, we turn to him and worship. Number two, cultivating a heart of appreciation. What else can we see here? Recognition of the smallness of man. And we find that in verse 16. And David the king came. This was after Nathan gave God's message to him. Don't build the temple. David came in. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, who am I? O Lord God, and what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Who am I? Recognition of the smallness of man. And we see David here responding in humility. God gave an answer. But who am I? Who am I that I should build the temple? I'm this little man in God's sight. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to do something for God like that. It's a wonder that God even loves me. It's a wonder that God has brought me to where I am. Lord, who am I? And I think humility is a key factor in accepting the blessings we have in our life, giving us appreciation because we understand that we have more than we ever need. Well, what else? Cultivating a heart of appreciation, number three, is acceptance of God's will and plan. And we find that in verse 24. David says, let it be established. The Lord wanted to build a house, and he said, your son will do it. And David said, let it be established. Thy will be done. I give up my expectation to come into your plan and to your will. And I believe, as we look at expectation, and we look at what we have in life, we look at unmet expectation, I think saying thy will be done is a very important key to appreciating the blessings God has for us. Thy will be done. Well, fourthly, cultivating a heart of appreciation. What else? We have here gratitude for God's blessings. In verse 25, David comes to God in prayer. Now therefore, let it bless thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. And we see here David responding in thankfulness. He recognized God's blessing, and God had told him in verse 7, he says, I took you from the sheep cot. I made you a ruler. I have cut off thine enemies. I have been with thee. I have made thy name great. David had so much to be thankful for already. Gratitude for God's blessings. And I think this is also will help us to deal with unmet expectations. When we turn to God and we say, thank you, God, you've given me so much, more than I've deserved. You've given me life. You've given me breath. You've given me friends, or you fill in the blanks. Thank you, God. And we see David coming to rest with God's plan and his will. He had this big expectation, but he came to rest. He said, God, you're the greatest. I worship you. I am very small. I will come to you with humility. And Lord, your will be done. Thank you, God. Now therefore, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, and it may be before thee forever, for thou blessest, O Lord, and shall be blessed forever. And so as we think of our life, can we fit in there with David and come under God's plan for life? Can we be appreciative for blessings rather than expectations that say, I deserve, I'm entitled. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God bless you.